exhibition, and to me this piece is really up there as, you know, an important piece, so it's quite an honor to have to see this piece again.
You know what Picasso said? I was just thinking that.
Did he see it? No, oh, no, he died before.
But Picasso said, in talking about music, he said, when you hear the birds singing, you don't ask what it means, you just listen to it. And that's a little bit what Einstein on the beach is for me. I just listen to the music and look at the pictures. And if you are looking for meaning, you'll get frustrated. You have something you experience. And it's like if you see a sunset, it doesn't have to tell you something. Or you hear the birds chattering, it doesn't necessarily have to mean something. It's something we listen to and something we look at. And to experience something is a way of thinking. So you think Susan Sontag used to say that to experience something is a way of thinking.
Do you think it's from your experience now, seeing audiences today and in 76 and 84 and 92, has the audience changed? Is it easier for them to experience it today because so much has happened since, or has it just remained the same?
I don't know. I think, as far as I can see, what's happening in the opera and the theater, I just went to see 2 weeks ago a Broadway show. And I started looking at my watch, and it was never more than 10, 15, or 20 seconds at the longest that there was not a response from the public. So they had to understand, do you understand, do you get it, do you understand, do you understand, do you understand what I'm saying, do you get it, do you understand, do you understand, do you understand? And after a while, you don't understand anything. But in this work, it's really okay to get lost. I'll tell you a good story. In 1992, when we did the revival, it was at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And about a week after we had opened, I went back to see a performance. And I was standing in the back of the theater, and I saw an empty seat in the aisle, and I walked down the aisle and sat in the seat. And next to me was Arthur Miller. And he didn't know who I was, but I knew who he was. So after about 20 minutes, he turned to me and said, what do you think about this? And I said, I don't know. What do you think about it? He said, you know, I don't get it. I said, you know, I don't get it either. And about a half an hour, he got up and left. It's something that if you try to get it, it'll be frustrating. It's something you just experience, and I think in that way it's still quite different from what we normally. It's not a narrative structure. We're so used to going to the opera, to theater, to have a narrative and to being dictated how to react by television or something. And this is something different, and maybe more radical now than in 76, when there seemed to be more experimentation happening in the arts.
Philip, you all three also took a very conscious decision of working with a whole new generation of performers. Did you experience sort of a difference in training or approach of these people?
In the first performances in Revolve, we all three were performing. This is the first time the three of us didn't perform.
How was it seeing your work for the first time together?
I saw it for the first time, because I was always in the pit playing. I saw it for the first time in Ann Arbor in January. And I sat through the whole thing.
What, you didn't take a bathroom break? You took a bathroom break, I was there.
Yeah, I ran backstage and had a cup of coffee too. I want to say something about the way audiences might experience it. It's not. Bob has done a lot of work since then, and so have I. So, Lucinda, there's Einstein has a special quality to it. It reminds me of the words of Christopher Knowlton, who talks about it's very, very fresh and clean. It's something about Einstein's like that. And it's not like other pieces of mind, it's not like other pieces of the universe, really. There's a special. Now, the thing is that when people come to it, it basically is a piece that doesn't have any companions in the theater. It's a sui genre, it's something that exists by itself. So anyone who comes to see it, it's like Mr. Miller. You're on your own. You can't relate it to Death of a Salesman, or you can't relate it to a work of Genet or a piece of Beckett. It doesn't make any sense. It's not like Waiting for Godot, and it's not like anything. So for anyone who sees it, you have a unique opportunity of seeing something that's not, that you can't enter it. You have no other door to enter it by, except by simply letting it come to you.
Yeah.
And that's the fresh and clean part of it.
And you feel that is still the same today?
I'm sure it is. I was very curious about that. People who never saw it, many people come to see it who had wanted to see it, and that may be true in Toronto, where you know, but especially the young people, but even the older people who haven't seen it. And I'm sure, I know that it's not that different from the first night in Avignon, when we did the piece, and no one had ever seen the piece. The audiences who see it now are seeing it pretty much the same way. They're seeing something that they hadn't seen before. You know, I don't know whether where people will see this in the future, or whether it will be even, any of us will be considered important artists in the future. I have no idea. I really don't know. And I don't even try to know. But one thing that we did was I don't know how we did it, but it was part of the time and part of when we met and who we were at that moment. A lot of funny things, autobiographical things that we've never even talked about. But we managed to do a piece which is very fresh. And
yes.
It still is. And I don't, I mean, we never did The Son of Einstein or The Return of Einstein. We never did that. That disappointed some people very much. People were very angry at me when they were such a Graha. And when they saw Pants, they were really angry. And I know that Bob, you've had your ups and downs with us too, but people, I don't know if they thought they were going to see it again, but it has a uniqueness to it. So I think that we don't, Bob's advice that you picked up from, did you say Picasso?
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Lucinda, how was it for you to see Einstein for the first time? Because you've been on stage since the beginning.
It's true. It's the first time seeing it. No, it's amazing. And the time goes by very quickly, night after night. I really love being here. And also the group that I have now is a group that I've worked with for 3 years. So that was very important to me, to come to this production with the experience of worked with the dancers, two field dancers, and also the soloist for the opening scene, which I'm the soloist. It's very important to me.
Do you sometimes see yourself and you're like, oh, I could have done this better, or you know, oh wow, what did she do there? Is it
no,
does the piece change with the with the performance?
No, it's moving on, and we're passing things on to another generation, and it's exciting to be part of that. And it's very interesting also to see how they connect with Bob. I think that's the most important thing. They, you know, he doesn't tell them exactly what to do, but somehow he finds a way to help them find a way. And it's sort of a fascinating process, and it's very subtle.
Yeah.
To see that happening. And it's really, I think, at a stage now where every single performer on that stage has communicated with Bob in a very special way, and that's giving the performance element that you really need.
Now let's go back maybe a little bit to the title. We've talked about everything but Einstein, really, or Einstein on the Beach. I think, Bob, you told me a while ago or say that there's a photograph basically that you have of Einstein from which a lot of the ideas before the piece sort of start. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how this sort of little seed turns into such a complex tree?
Well, I was interested in that time, and still am, of making works about gods of our time. Say the Greeks made plays of gods of their time, with Apollo or Athena or whatever. So Einstein was a sort of god of the 20th century. I made a work on Freud, a work on Stalin. These are people that are commonly known by the general public. So we come to the theater sharing a certain common knowledge. And Einstein, as Phil pointed out, was also the father of the atomic bomb. And he was a pacifist, but there's also this dark side. And I had read and thought about On the Beach, the novel. So I thought that maybe Einstein on the beach to have that association.
The photograph?
Oh, the photograph. And a friend of mine, Paul Walter, gave me a photograph of Einstein at Princeton. And he's standing with gray baggy pants and suspenders and a starched white shirt, short sleeve shirt, and a wristwatch. And he's holding his hands to his side, and there's this little space between his fingers. And I started looking at that gesture and then looking at other photographs of Einstein, and I found a photograph when he was 2 years old, and he's standing pretty much the same way with that little space between his two fingers. And when he was 12 years old, and 22, and 32, and 52. And it was curious how this gesture was always there. And then I started thinking about, well, it was in this space that he held the chalk that he made his calculations. And his favorite pastime was sailing, and it was in this space that he pulled the ropes of the sailboat. He also liked to play the violin, and it was in that space that he held the bow for the violin. And so I started with that gesture. And everyone is dressed in gray pants and suspenders and short sleeve shirts, and they have a wristwatch. And he was wearing tennis shoes. Everyone is wearing tennis shoes. And there was the seed of the work.
How did sort of other theories of Einstein, I know it's obviously not a biographical opera, it doesn't have a story. How did other sort of ideas of Einstein define the structure and find their way into the piece?
I took various images that he used. He talks about trains. So Einstein said, if you see a train going across a field, you see that. But if you see it from this perspective, you see a line. So you have in the first scene a train that's going across the stage, and it's interrupted by a vertical line of light, and the train goes off. Line of light goes away, the train comes back the second time, and the second time again it's interrupted by a vertical line of light, and they go off, and it happens a third time. He talks about time and space, and time being a vertical line, something goes to the center of the earth and goes to the heavens, and space is a horizontal line. And then the second scene of the trial, we start with a horizontal window of light. So it's a cross of time and space. So there are various images that you can freely associate with that were not necessarily arbitrarily chosen, but always thought about in relationship to Einstein and who he was, how he stood, how he dressed, his ideas. And I once was with Phil, and he was showing me he had written the music on a piece of paper, and I said, wow, this is a page from Einstein's notebook of his calculations. And there seemed to be a similarity in terms of the configuration of numbers. So it's something that you can freely associate with and look at. And
Philip,
it has no one way to think about it. You can think about it in any way, multiple ways.
Philip, did you do, while composing or before composing, did you do any research into
I was a little older than Bob, so in 1947, right after the war, I was 10 years old. And right after the war, Einstein became very, very famous because the theory of relativity and so on, it was his theories that had made it possible to win that war. That's how it was looked at. So he was a super, super, duper superstar. Everyone knew, you look back in the picture of him with his tongue out, everybody knew that picture.
Which is in the opera too.
What is in the opera too. And there are pictures of him and more in the opera too, all kinds of things. The opera is packed with Einstein memorabilia, including, of course, the most important for me, of course, as a musician, he played the violin. So the violin becomes a touchstone for another thing of Einstein. The other thing that was happening at that time, in my 10, 11, and 12, there were discussions and popular explanations about the theory. Everybody wanted to know about this theory, which we were told only six people in the world understood, of course. That was a great underestimation of what it really was. But that was a popular idea that only six people understood the theory, and that he couldn't even, they also said that he couldn't count up his grocery bill. You know, that was another
people. He didn't remember his telephone number.
My childhood was filled with stories of Einstein. So when we were talking on the piece years and years later about Einstein, I said, "Oh, I'm there with that," and I knew a lot about it in the way. Now, the other Bob said, which I forgot about that, but the music, the text of the singing is often numbers. So that's part of it. But actually what had happened really, I was teaching the music to the singers and who were also, we had the dance company and the singing company were the same. We had to audition people who could sing and dance, if you might remember that. And there were plenty of people that could do that because a lot of people came to New York they want to do song and dance on Broadway. So they had that training and we auditioned them but I still had to teach them the music. And I was teaching them the rhythm of the music, which was the kinds of cyclical rhythm structures I was using. And I was using numbers to teach it, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And so all of these numbers all the way through. And then for the melodies, I use the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do, which everybody knows. And we had three rehearsals a day during this period. The morning rehearsal was a music rehearsal, then we had a dance rehearsal, then we had a staging rehearsal. And each rehearsal was about 3 hours long, and that's what we did. We did, how long did we do that, about 2 or 3 months? It was, the whole piece was made, though. And then one morning, Bob came in to hear the music rehearsal, and we were doing the 1, 2, 3, and the soul first sings. And Bob said to me, "Is that the text of their singing?" And he said, "Yes."
That's brilliant. That's nice.
I think I was doing it just as a teaching device. I didn't really know what I was going to do after that. And Bob said, "Is that what they're going to sing?" And I said, "Yes, that's it." So Bob, it was a combination of my clumsiness and his naivete allowed us to make this wonderful decision where that if you listen to the numbers, that will tell you the structure of the music. And if you listen to the solfege, it tells you the structure of the melody. And it's completely, Bob, you're right, it's like looking at one of his drawings of where you see numbers in it. So in a way, I can say, we don't know what Einstein is about, but Einstein on the beach, every road leads back to Einstein. Everything you see, everything that people are wearing, even the ordinary everyday things of Christopher Knowles and the poetry of Lucinda and Mr. Johnson, to me it sounds like Einstein. Maybe it's not just
Lucinda, there's two big dance scenes in the piece called Field Dances, and you choreographed them in 1984.